You're listening to Vatican Radio.
The launch of the Education Cannot Wait Fund at the World Humanitarian Summit in Istanbul was welcomed by many of those who have spent months and years campaigning for it. The announcement at the summit was heralded as a game changer for a generation of young people impacted by emergencies and crises, locked out of opportunity and hope for a brighter future. One of the most active and vocal groups working to provide educational services to refugees is the Jesuit Refugee Service, that sent a delegation to the summit to present a series of commitments. Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni spoke to Julia McPherson, Assistant Director for Policy at Jesuit Refugee Service USA.
So first of all, are you happy with how the summit has played out?
Absolutely. We're really excited about how the summit has played out so far. One of our priority areas is education in emergencies and protracted crises. And to see it be featured so prominently at the summit this year was really exciting. JRS launched a new global education initiative late last year after meeting with Pope Francis and at the beginning of this new year of mercy. And in honor of the year of mercy, Pope Francis commissioned JRS to take on and expand our role in education. And so we'll be looking to double the number of refugee students that we serve through our programming. So with this new initiative at JRS, coupled with this global momentum in terms of raising awareness and funding and political will for education in emergencies, we really see this as a tremendous opportunity to galvanize the global community, including policymakers, decision makers, and donors, to really boost the amount of resources that will support growth in this area.
Did you get the feeling that your voice was being listened to?
Yes, this was a great process leading up to the summit. There was a really robust consultative process that was launched by a series of players, including the champions behind the new fund, Education Cannot Wait, Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister of the UK, and a broader group of champions, and also an organization called INEE, which is the Interagency Network for Education in Emergencies, of which JRS is a member. They together pulled together a consultative process where civil society, decision makers, any other entity interested in this work could weigh in and provide our thoughts on what this new fund should look like, who it should serve, how best to devise this fund to address this issue and to really bring education to the most vulnerable in both short-term crises and long-term protracted crises. So we were able to play a role in that consultative process, provide our feedback and our thoughts. We just released a new report on education in emergencies about last week, leading up to the summit. So we were able to really put forward our voice, our thinking in terms of being implementers in the field, doing this work day in and day out, and being able to inform the fund and make it as robust as it can be.
It was good to see that the role of faith-based organizations and religious institutions was highlighted quite prominently.
Yes, I think in this sector, we're seeing that the role of both faith-based and secular organizations are being looked at on par with each other, so that we are coming to the table as any other implementer. And absolutely, we bring a unique perspective being a faith-based organization. But in terms of the work that we do, we're serving, you know, people of all faiths. And the majority, at least from JRS's perspective, are, you know, not of Christian faith. Absolutely not. I mean, the majority of those individuals who are victims of conflict and crisis are not Christians. So we're really serving the most vulnerable and looking at our work and the work that we're doing and having it be considered as part of this larger sector is really beneficial to us, that we're able to share the work that we're doing alongside other organizations that are doing this important work.
We tend a little bit to be a little bit Europe-centric because of where we live and because of what we witness every day. In fact, it was good to see people from all over the world, because we often forget that there are so many refugees and displaced people in Asia, in Africa. Have their stories been heard here as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a session this morning about education in emergencies with a focus on African countries. So we're looking at, I think, the Syrian crisis in particular is drawing attention to this issue, but it's also opening the door to expand the conversation and bring to light some of the issues, especially in places like Africa and other places in the world, where there have been ongoing long-term crises for 10, 20, 30 years. JRS is certainly working in camps and urban areas on the African continent where funding is dropping, and the political will to continue to invest in these areas and to serve these populations really is diminishing. So we're looking at ways to draw attention to the needs in places like Chad, places like South Sudan, where there's a fatigue in terms of being able to invest in programming, and in particular in education programming, which oftentimes does not get the attention that it deserves, broadly speaking, receiving only about 2% of humanitarian funding, which we're hoping the new fund will help to boost. But looking at education as sort of falling to the bottom of that priority list, and we're hoping that this convening, this conversation, will allow us to highlight and draw attention to some of these more forgotten crises. And I'll just add that you mentioned Eurocentric. Being from the U.S. and JRS's presence in the U.S., we're really looking to see how the U.S. government as well can contribute to this conversation, to absolutely be continue to be a leader in this sector, but to also help contribute to this new fund, which they were able to do yesterday by committing $20 million to the launch of the new fund. So we were excited to see that. It's been a big part of what we've been doing at JRS in terms of trying to engage the U.S. government on this issue.
That's good with me, unless you want to add anything.
I'll just maybe wrap up by saying that, for JRS being an organization that has been doing this work for 35 years now, the Jesuits are known for being educators, and this is an important part of what we do. Our heart is really in it, and I think what Tom highlighted yesterday during the side event that we were able to host alongside several other organizations, including UNRWA and INEE and their world, is that we really are looking at some of the innovative ways that we're tackling this issue, and we were able to highlight the fact that we take a holistic approach to the work that we do. We make sure that children that we're helping to educate have the food that they need, have the shelter that they need. We're involving parents, making sure that this is a holistic approach. We're being persistent in the work that we're doing. We're still in some of those challenging places that I mentioned. While other organizations need to pull out, we're there on the ground trying to really draw attention to some of these longstanding issues. And we're investing in sort of long-term sustainable solutions, things like teacher training, really trying to build up the capacity of refugees and displaced persons to build a livelihood for themselves and their families. So these are just some of the things that we're trying to highlight in the work that we're doing day to day, but also in these global conversations to try to improve the kinds of quality of education and including access to education that we're trying to support.
I think it's really important that you're also very present in those forgotten places. Everyone's talking about Syria and the number of Syrian refugees, and of course that's so important, but what about those millions of displaced people in South Sudan?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the places that we've been really focused on in recent weeks, and in particular over the years, is Chad, which has been hosting Darfuri refugees for over 10 years now. We've been in Chad for 10 years and serving about 30,000 young people through our education programs. And Chad has seen a significant drop in funding from the UN and other donors in recent years. And so we're struggling with other agencies working in the area on how we balance those cuts, how we serve those who we're working to serve in our programming and make sure that they have somewhere to go, something to do, that this is a long-term crisis with no solution, but we're trying to create a solution. If it's integrating into host communities, creating those livelihoods opportunities, and education is at the heart of that, where education can really provide a future for individuals, both giving them hope for what opportunities are open to them, give them a sense of normalcy, helping them heal from trauma. So it's the cornerstone of what we're looking to instill in these communities so that they can look forward towards the future and hopefully be able to see some improvement in their circumstances.
That was Linda Bordaney speaking to Assistant Director for Policy at Jesuit Refugee Service USA, Julia McPherson.